turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. We'll go to verse 16 first. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Not ashamed of the power of the gospel.
Amen.
I was told today that every day in China, 30,000 people are accepting Jesus.
Yes.
As their own personal saviour.
Oh man, a day.
A day. That's what I was told. 30,000 people a day are turning to Christ.
Praise God.
As their own personal saviour.
Oh man.
So we need to hope and believe that the same thing can happen in our nation.
Why not?
In the British Isles.
Amen.
That men and women will start turning to Jesus.
Yeah.
But do you know why it's happening that these people are turning to Jesus?
No.
No idea.
Are people telling them about God?
Well, that's one thing. Obviously, people are telling them. Disciples are telling them. Chinese disciples are telling them about Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what you mean, isn't it? So.
Yeah.
So they're telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ, but at the same time, they're not only telling people about it; they are living it.
Amen.
We have to live the gospel.
Yeah.
Right. It's not about words.
No.
Because people can talk words and then go and do something totally different.
Mm.
I have words given to me. I was going to say nearly just about every week.
Mm.
I can see people and say, "Shall I see you on church on Wednesday?" And they say, "Yeah, I think so." And then I don't see them. Or, "Shall I see you on church on Sunday?" "Yeah, maybe." And some even say yes. Because that way they think it pleases me.
Gets you off the back.
And then it gets me. Well, it shuts me up as far as they're concerned. That's what they think. Yeah, they're hoping that I shut him up by saying, "Yeah, I'll be there." And then they don't turn up. The next time he sees him, he's going to get even tougher. And so, for you and I, as disciples of the Lord Jesus, not only should we be speaking the Word of God, but we should be acting like the Word of God.
Mm.
Because this Word should be working in us. First of all, if you read further on in Romans 12 and verses 1, 2 and 3, it talks about the Word of God washing your mind, the Word of God renewing your mind, the Word of God changing your thinking.
Amen.
Right? I'm using different words so that you understand what the point I'm trying to make with you. And so, as we read the Word of God, and as we come to church in meetings and we hear the message preached to us, it should be having an effect upon our minds and also upon our spirits.
Yeah.
Right? Because the word should firstly touch us in our spirit, and we want to pray, "God, as whoever speaks to us in the meeting, Lord, let it be a word that brings a revelation." Something that we've never seen before, a new revelation of how God is, or how God appears and looks, and what God is doing, and that it will actually stir you and me up into
Amen.
A I've got to do something. I've got to do something. I am doing something because the word of God has stirred me up.
Amen.
And for the last 40 odd years, I've been stirred up.
Stirred by the word, yeah.
You know, there's times I read this word and there's a stirring that goes on from this word. Because when you read the Bible, you're actually in conversation with God.
Yeah.
That's something. When you start to read the Bible, you're getting into conversation with God Almighty.
Yeah.
You're getting into conversation with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You are getting to conversation with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He wants to speak to you, wants to reveal his word to you. And so it's important that this, that we read the word, we spend time around the word together. What did Jesus do with his disciples? He would gather them on one side and say, come on.
Yeah.
And he would pull them away from the crowd and the multitude.
Yeah.
And that is, the multitude today is the world outside that we live in.
Yeah.
And so he would say to his disciples, come on, we're going up the mountain and we're going to spend some time together.
Yeah.
And I'm going to teach you.
Yeah.
And then they would come down the mountain and then they would begin to perform miracles.
Yeah.
And healings while Jesus was there. So the word of God is to inspire faith in us.
Yeah.
To believe that God wants to heal, that
okay.
God is true to his word and to his promises. And so it's so important that you and I, as we, particularly when we come together, that we come to see God speak to us, to hear God speak to us, and we come to be encouraged.
Yeah.
To believe for great miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And you might say, well, I'm all right, I'm comfortable. That's the problem today. Today's generations have become comfortable and God has been pushed out.
Yeah.
If you lived in Nepal, the mountains somewhere, it's not so comfortable.
No.
And if you live there and you need a doctor quickly, it's not so easy. Or a hospital. It's not so easy.
No.
So in Africa and other places, even in Romania, which is in Europe,
yeah.
It's not easy.
No.
It's same in China. You get out into the outlying places in China. Same sort of thing. But the most important thing will be then is if there's somebody in the town, the village, that knows Jesus.
Mm.
And that person knows Jesus so well that they're prepared to come and pray for somebody by faith, in faith, lay hands on them, and the power of God comes on that person that they're praying for.
Yeah.
And that person's healed.
Mm-hmm.
What a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, desperation brings people to that.
It does.
And today in this nation, we're not desperate. We haven't got any money, we won't sign on for something and apply for something, and so it goes on.
Mm.
They talk about the homeless in our town. And now people have worked out the homeless people just go from day to day getting a meal every day. In fact, there's probably more than one meal a day that they're getting. So they don't need to take any responsibilities. They can just continue to be sort of classed as homeless. They're just being helped to be homeless, which is sad. And the thing that they're not getting that would change their lives, that would change their eternity, is nobody's telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody is showing them the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is sat on its chairs.
Mm.
And the church has become silent.
Mm.
And that worries me.
Mm.
For our nation.
Mm.
You know, the church is growing in Nepal. It's growing in China. It's growing in Africa. And yet everybody keeps saying in England it's shrinking.
Yeah.
I mean, we come past a Church of England through town And I've noticed in the last couple of weeks, the house that the vicar lives in, the minister lives, it's up to let. So what that says is, they have no minister at the church. What that says is, there isn't enough money to pay for a minister at the church. So the next step is, if it continues like that and the church stays silent, the church will become totally silent and close. This church building that we're in now, 18 months ago, was to be closed. We want to see people coming in and lives being changed.
Amen.
And we can only do it when we begin to speak out the word of God. The word of God is powerful.
Yeah.
It will change lives. But to just have it once a week is not enough. If you lived on one meal a week, could you do a job? Could you be strong? Could you be effective?
No.
The answer is no, we couldn't, could we? But so many Christians today live on one day, one meal, one spiritual meal a week when they arrive at church and they sit there and go and just listen to the preacher. And in some churches, it's 20 minutes and then it's finished. We need to see the power of God.
Amen.
In our lives.
Yeah.
And in the churches.
Mm.
And I'm going to, in these next few weeks, I want us to increase our prayer meetings. I'm going to look at putting a morning prayer meeting on. Because we need to start to pray.
We do, yeah.
If you don't mix prayer with the word of God, it will do nothing. Faith and prayer works together. Paul, here in Romans, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God.
Amen.
To everyone who believes, to Jew first and also to the Greeks. When it says Greeks, it means Gentiles. It means to the Nepalese. It means to the Chinese. It means to the Indians. It means to the English. It means to the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
It is the power of God.
Yeah.
And so God wants to work in each and every one of us. And so verse 17 says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith.
Amen.
As it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith.
Yeah.
What does righteous mean?
Just.
Just is another word. Just, upright. One who's been forgiven is a righteous person.
Yeah.
And he says, those that have been forgiven shall live by faith.
Amen.
What is faith? Faith is believing in something that you cannot see. Faith is trusting in something that you cannot see. Have you seen God?
No.
No. Neither have I. But we trust in faith and believe that God is real. We've seen, some of us have seen the effects of the power of God in healing people. Yeah? Some of them have seen the effects of the power of God raising people from the dead. Wow. Wouldn't that be great to see somebody raised from the dead? Hey?
Yeah.
I tell you. You know, when you guys went home on yesterday, I was just pottering around doing something, and then suddenly there was a voice in the church, and a man came to the church. And he came to tell us, he came to ask us if we could marry him and the lady he's been living with for
21 years.
She's just been told she's got lung cancer, and it's small nodules, and it's going right through her body. And she may have anywhere between 6 to 12 weeks to live. They were planning to get married sometime this year. Suddenly now there's an urgency. He's a Roman Catholic, but as he said, he's fallen out with God. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were a church so powerful in prayer and faith that we could go out there and lay hands on her, and that cancer would just totally disappear.
Yeah.
And when they put her on the next machine for scanning, that there wasn't a trace of one piece of cancer.
Yeah.
What sort of testimony would that be?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? But what does it mean? How does this happen?
By faith.
Good answer. By faith. So what do we need to have? What else does it need? It needs faith. That's one of the first key components. Nothing in God ever works on its own. Nothing works as one.
No,
you see, you have God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. They work together. God never works just on his own. And when he sent his disciples out, he sent them out at least in twos.
Mm-hmm.
They went out in twos, assisting one another to minister the presence and the power of God. Paul used to take a team of people, so he might have a dozen people, and said, "We're going on a missions trip. Come on." Can you imagine volunteering for one of Paul's trips, and suddenly you find you're shipwrecked on Malta? Hey, I didn't volunteer for this trip, Paul. You know, it's all right. Don't worry. You know, we're going to drown. We're going to drown. Paul says, "No, we're not." But Paul took teams out as well. And when they went out, people were healed. The power of God was made available. The power of God became visible.
Yeah?
Most of the time, around us right now is the presence and the power of God.
Yeah.
Okay, would you agree?
Yeah.
God is around us right now. The power and the presence of God is around us right now. Can you see it?
No.
At the moment, we can't see anything, can we?
No.
But if there's a need and we begin to pray and suddenly... Remember praying for somebody who'd gone blind in one eye. And as we prayed, that person, their eye opened. And they could see. And then you know the power of God's working, because I don't open blind eyes. Do I? I don't have the mental ability, the technical ability or anything to open anybody's eye. From being blind to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
But the God I serve does.
Mm.
The God I worship does. He's the life giver. He's the one that gives light into our lives. And so it's important that we realize that our faith has to go to another level in God. We have to begin to climb, shall we say, the mountain of faith. That we begin to rise higher and become stronger in our faith, become stronger and more effective and targeted on the things of this world. And as I was saying, you know, China, 30,000 people a day coming to Christ, a week, sorry, coming to Christ. Wow, what that is a day. What an amazing thing. Presence of God, the word of God is rushing through heathen nations.
Amen.
China worships I don't know how many gods. But you know, 500 years, I think it was, before Jesus came, China believed in one God. One God. And it was one emperor that came in and decided he was going to dismantle all that and brought other gods in. But the actual root of the Chinese nation is one that worships one God. And that one God was the creator. And in a few weeks' time, I'm going to bring a little study on that, and I'm going to show you some of the Chinese language, and I'm going to show you where creation, all these other things are written in the Chinese language. And this goes back four and a half thousand years of the Chinese nation. God is interested in his people.
Yes.
And when I say in his people, I mean the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole world belongs to God.
Amen.
It doesn't belong to the devil. It belongs to Jesus. It belongs to God. And every person belongs to God. The question is, are they going to take Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour? And the truth is, if you and I don't carry the message, if you and I don't speak it out, if you and I don't live it, if we say one thing and then act like something else, if we say nice things and then act nastily, they're going to say, hang on. They don't mix, do they? They don't fit together. So God wants us to live by faith. You see, when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we came to Christ by faith.
Mm.
Faith in, we were receiving a Jesus that we couldn't see. We were receiving a God that we couldn't see. Some of us, if not all of us, have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but we can't see him. And some people say, well, I want to, Thomas said, you know, unless I see the nail prints in his hands and put my finger in them and put my fist in his side, I'll not believe. And Jesus revealed himself and said to Thomas, come on then, do it. No, Lord, he says, I believe. I mean, can you imagine? Here's the man that he saw nailed to the cross all day for 12 hours. Saw him nailed to that cross and saw him die. Saw him being buried in a tomb for 3 days. And suddenly, a few days later, there he is. He stood in the room. And all the doors are locked, all the windows are locked. And suddenly, Jesus appears in the room and says, touch me. Hang on. Can you explain to me how somebody can get through any of these walls, any of these windows, or the door, without opening a door or without opening a window? Can you explain how anybody does it? Me neither. I can't explain it. Now, I know we've all seen the films like Star Trek, you know, the famous line, beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah.
We've seen that, we've heard that famous line, beam me up, Scotty, and all of a sudden disappears out of sight and appears back on the ship. Yeah?
Transporter.
And you see, you kids, all this technology, you've never seen it. You kids have never lived. Man alive. What jump do you watch? This is quality. This is gold I'm talking about. You know? I'll have to get you one in just to let you watch it. Glory to you. And so, you know, man's sort of imagining and looking for, like, oh, to be able to be transported from this place to that place. I mean, wouldn't it be great if you could just go to one place somewhere in Doncaster? I'd like to be transported to Florida, please. You know, and like, instead of the 8-hour journey flying, that suddenly it's like, zzz, zzz, there you are. Just like that, within a moment of time, within seconds, It's like, oh, what a relief. None of this airport queuing and security, you know, these security guards you're having to go through and take this off, take that off, take your belt off, take your shoes off, and it's like, oh, what else do I have to take off, you know, sort of thing. And then you go through the custom, you know, just think, all this sort of stuff you go through. And man dreams of this transporter that takes you from here to there in moments of time. Well, guess what? 2,000 years ago, God was doing it.
It was.
When Jesus appeared in the room, you know, he didn't do it more. He didn't do it once. He did it at least twice. When Jesus appeared in the room. Wow. I mean,
transported Philip.
Well, yeah, I mean, Philip in the book of Acts, yeah. He was in one place, he was witnessing to the Ethiopian, baptizing him, and the next thing, he was transported, he was in another city.
Was he a human?
Yeah. Read it. He was one of the disciples. It says the Spirit of God caught him up and took him and put him in another city.
Physically.
Of course it was physically.
Yeah, it just disappears like that.
Elijah went to heaven in a fiery chariot. Yeah. See, you have to read your Bible to find out all these powerful truths. This is what gives you the imagination and faith of who God really is and what God can do.
Amen.
You know, we take it for granted when we go to a store and the door automatically slides open in front of us, don't we? You know, we're walking towards these doors. You see the sign, automatic door. So when you're heading towards this door, you automatically, you expect the door to slide open, don't you? Some of them, I end up walking a little bit too fast for them. And I have to hit the brakes, you know, and wait for the door to open, because otherwise I'm going to hit my nose on the glass or something. But they open. We're shocked when they don't. Not working. Well, when Peter was in prison, fast asleep, in chains, an angel came down and said, come on, Peter, we're leaving. And his chains fell off. He got up and they walked out through the main entrance and the doors just opened on their own. First automatic opening doors. You know, so-and-so invented the automatic door. No, God had got him first. God had been done it, you see. We just got the idea from God. And so, we have, and God just opens the door, and Peter's like, I'm dreaming. This can't be real, because, you know, Peter had never seen an automatic opening door. In fact, Peter had never even dreamed of an automatic opening door. So he's thinking, I'm dreaming. This is a dream. You know, I'm hoping to get free, but I'm just dreaming. And suddenly he comes around and realizes, I'm not dreaming. I'm out of prison. I'm outside the jail. I'll go to the house of my friends. And so off he goes. Knocks at the door. And they're all in there praying for Peter to be delivered from prison to be set free. Why are they praying for Peter to be delivered and set free? Any idea?
Because Herod's going to kill him next day.
Well, Herod's going to kill him, yeah. So, all right, Herod's going to kill him next day, but why pray?
So it actually happens.
What?
That Peter does get free.
That's one reason to pray. Yeah, they're praying for him to get free, but why pray? What's so special about them praying? I'm looking for something from you. Why are these people praying? They're praying to get him out, but why continue? What is it that makes them pray for Peter to get out of, to come out of prison? What is it that's about them that makes them continue to pray.
Seen that it works.
They've seen it works, so they got faith. They had a belief that God would answer prayer.
Yeah.
If they hadn't have asked for Peter to come out of prison, he might not have come out. But they were praying that God would set him free. And so God did as the people of God asked for. Remembering, Jesus said, "You have not, because you haven't asked me." You have not, because you haven't asked. Right? And as people of Jesus Christ, we need to go to heaven in prayer. We need to go to the presence of God in prayer. We need to be verbal about what we want.
Yeah.
Some people say, "Well, I just pray in my head." Mm. Well, it's not always good enough. And I'll give you a couple of instances. Well, I can give you loads of instances, but the one I always quote, when God in the beginning started to create the universe and everything in it, God spoke the word. God was verbal. And a wonderful one that comes to mind is Daniel. They put a decree through the land and said, nobody prays to any god other than Pharaoh. Not Pharaoh, than Nebuchadnezzar. He's the only one that can give out answers. You see, Daniel had been overheard praying. Well, it was Darius or Nebuchadnezzar, one of the two. He was during his time anyway. But Daniel had been overheard praying. And people didn't like it. Those that worshipped heathen gods didn't like it. So they wanted to stop him. Because this God that Daniel prayed to actually answered prayers.
Yeah.
And changed people's lives. And so they thought, they said, if anybody is caught praying to a foreign, any other god, then they're going to be sentenced to death and be thrown into the lion's den. Now, nobody here has been told, if you're caught praying, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. Have they? I mean, we do know where there's a lion's den, not too far away. In fact, I know a man who could get us in there, and we could actually try throwing somebody into the lion's den. And he's in this room tonight. Or if we didn't bother with the lions, we could try the tigers. You know, either are quite dangerous. You see, who wants to volunteer for a trip to the lion's den?
Mm-hmm.
No volunteers? No. Yet Daniel just sort of said, you're not stopping me praying.
No.
You can threaten me with a lion's den any time you want, but I will not stop praying.
No.
So what did he do? He said, every morning and every evening, he went, opened the balcony doors and stood on the balcony and said, Father God, I just worship you and I thank you. And he just began to pray. And then you see what you've got is you've got these little men just listening at him. He's praying to that God of his and not our God, you know. Whoa, wait while we tell Darius tomorrow morning. We'll have him then. We'll have him in the lion's den. And they did. Now, Daniel was a favourite. Darius was very fond of Daniel. He liked him. Do you know why? Because Daniel always spoke the truth.
Yeah.
Daniel was a very precious, godly man. Daniel always gave good advice.
Yeah.
And Daniel always, when he gave his advice, stood his ground. And said, this is where I stand, and this is where I'm going to be, and I'm not going to take no for an answer. And he stood his ground. The Church of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Needs to stand its ground.
Amen.
The Church of Jesus Christ needs to get on the balcony and start talking.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've been doing.
Yeah.
At school. And start talking. And tell them about Jesus and what he's done for you and what he can do for them.
Mm-hmm.
And how the power of God can change lives.
Yeah.
And when you start to do that, you're sowing seeds and these people start asking questions. And they come to Jesus and they ask Jesus into the heart of life. We've seen grandparents saying to us, our granddaughter's totally changed. We can't thank you enough. We haven't done anything. It's Jesus that does it.
Amen.
But we've got to be the signpost.
Yeah.
We've got to speak the words. We've got to be the encouragers. And whether you speak a lot of English or a little English, you need to use it.
Yeah.
Use it. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah.
Check or preach through the Bible tonight. Because you can then go to the man who was given one talent. What talent have you got that God's given you? A good question to ask. What talent has God given to you? God gives you one talent. Right? Have you watched Ice Age?
Yeah.
And disaster strikes, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Every time he goes and tries to bury this thing, disaster strikes. Yeah? The parable of the man who'd been given one talent, hid it, wrapped it up in a towel, went and buried it away and said, oh, I know my master is a hard taskmaster, so I don't want to lose it, so I'll bury it. Yet the others who were given other talents used theirs and they got more and more increased. What are we doing with our talents? What are we doing with our abilities? Because it says when the master came and he went through everybody and said, what are you doing with yours? 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 And he got to the one with one talent. He said, what are you doing with yours? Oh, well, I knew you were a hard taskmaster. And I knew that if I lost it, I'd be in serious trouble. So what I thought I'd do, the best thing I could do was actually go and bury it somewhere. And when you came back, I'd just bring it back to you. And he says, you won. The least you could have done, he said, the least you could have done was invest it, that it might get some interest. Let it begin to work. And the talent that God gives you is there to work.
Yeah.
And so the Word of God says, the talent that he had was taken from him and given to the other. and he was cast away from the presence of God. We don't want that, do we?
No.
It's not why we came to Jesus, is it?
No.
We didn't come to Jesus to be literally
shown the door and said, get out into the darkness. Do we?
No.
We didn't come to Jesus for that. The Bible says God is love.
Whilst we have been here, and whilst we have known all of you here, what have we shown you?
Love.
Thank you. I'm glad we've shown love to some one person. I appreciate that. We've shown love towards you. And what has that done for you?
It's changed me.
Changed you? In what way? Has it made you angry and bitter and resentful? And
it made me want to do the same for others.
Made you want to do the same towards others. The reason I stand up every Sunday and every Wednesday and share the Word of God is because I want each and every one of us to share a part of Jesus Christ with the people they come into contact with. Every day of the week. The reason I try and encourage you that we need to come together and we need to begin to pray fervently. He says the disciples prayed fervently for Peter's deliverance from prison. And they got the answer. If you want to see things change for your life, then it's the gospel, it's the good news of Jesus that will only change things in your life. Did the gospel change things for your life?
Yeah.
Her life, as far as she was concerned, was coming to an end. True?
Yeah.
But Jesus came in.
Amen.
And changed the direction.
Yeah.
Of her life.
Praise God.
How many years ago was that?
32
years ago. Let me tell you this, in all honesty, 32 years ago we could have had a funeral. And I'm not joking when I say that. This is true now. This is truth. Isn't that right? 32 years ago she planned a funeral. She planned suicide. And do you know, so now the amazing thing is that Helen, the nice person that she is,
yeah,
hallelujah, hated this sweet, gentle, nice pastor that you have.
Oh, sometimes.
I say it as it is. Isn't that right, Sonia? I tell it as it is, don't I?
The silence is speaking.
Yes, obviously. Obviously. I don't really hold many punches back, do I? You know, if you need a good, then I'll give you one. Why?
Because I love you. I want the best for you, right?
And so, she's got this plan. And the person that she hates most, me, right? The person she hates most is me. Did you call us?
I spoke to Grace.
She called, that was it.
She wouldn't call me,
she would call my beloved, you see. And she called Grace. And of course, I think Grace called me, didn't you? That was yes. And so then I spoke to Helen and she said a few things of what was wrong with the car and what was wrong with it. So I said, well, do this and this and then come over to the house. I said, now, I'll sort it for you. And this was on a Sunday. And she arrived at the house, and I quickly did a quick sort out job on the car. She stayed for tea, and we took her to church. We were fishing. Fishing. Drawing her in. And it changed her life. What we did for Helen is having an impact on your life. Can you see? Amazing how God has done all these things. But you see, it is all about that we have to begin to walk by faith. We have to believe this word of God. We have to speak out the word of God. We have to pray the word of God. The word of God is powerful, and it changes things. Right? And it's so important that we begin to speak the word out, and that we use it to change the destiny and direction of people's lives.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's what the word of God is there for, to change the direction and the destiny of people's lives. Because the whole world that hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour is going to hell.
Yeah.
That's the destination. The only way to heaven is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, and then in truth, in truth, it's then linking arms with Jesus and walking in step with Jesus every day. That wherever you go, when somebody looks at you, they see Jesus. Right? I mean, there are some people who say, "Oh, I'm a Christian." And they do the most hurtful and nasty things. And they put rules and regulations when it's like we walk by faith. We live by the grace of God. We're brought into the presence, into a relationship with God, because first of all, God is love. And God loves us with an everlasting love. And God has forgiven us because Jesus died for us. And when Jesus died for us, he said, he took your punishment. He took my punishment. Your punishment. That punishment that we deserve for all the wrong things we've done and are going to do, he said, I've taken your punishment.
Amen.
And I've given you forgiveness. But we have to walk by faith. Each day we get up and we have to get out of bed and say, no matter how you feel, I'm forgiven.
Amen.
I'm loved by God. God loves me. I'm a friend of Jesus. And then we begin to walk and we begin to speak out the word of God and testify of the goodness of God in our lives. The righteous, those that have been forgiven, shall live by faith. Are we living by faith?
I need to step up a bit more.
Every one of us needs to step up to this level in Christ. Every one of us needs to move forward to another level in Christ Jesus. Our nation, as it is now, appears to be going to the dogs. Our nation appears at times to be getting worse. And the major reason for that is not the politicians. It's not the people that we have just living here. It's the fact that the church of Jesus Christ has fallen silent.
Yeah.
And if the church doesn't have a voice, then God does not have a voice in this nation.
True.
If the church doesn't pray, God cannot move in our nation.
No.
There is power in prayer, and we need to speak out the word of God and declare the power and the word of God in people's lives.
Yes.
Second book of Corinthians. In the New Testament, 2 book of Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 7. And it says this: "For we walk by faith, not by sight."
Amen.
See, Paul's not saying, "For I walk by faith and not by sight." He's saying, We the church walk by faith and not by sight. Those of you who've got Facebook. we ought to create a new one. Facebook, didn't we? Instead of Facebook. Those of you who've got Facebook and have seen the latest thing that came from me.
Yeah,
you saw that one? You know, there's a man stood on the edge of this cliff, and there's a great big gap between, and he stood there, and there's trouble behind him, the rocks crumbling away behind him, and he shouts, "God!" And the voice comes back and says, "Jump!" And he looks at the gap and he thinks, "It's too big." And it's still crumbling, it's getting closer and closer to him. So finally, in the end, he jumps. And what was underneath before him was all he could see underneath him was just clouds, nothingness. And suddenly he jumps and he starts to fall. And he lands on this staircase, doesn't he? And then the staircase goes back up to the other side. He had to believe the word of God. He had to believe the voice of God. And when he starts to believe it, then you start to take the steps.
Yeah.
Then you start to walk and jump into the invisible, so that the invisible suddenly becomes visible.
Yeah.
The nothing suddenly becomes a substance.
Yeah.
We walk by faith and not by sight. And the Bible says, faith comes by, what does it say, Ellen? Hearing the word. And that's why I say to you, when you read your Bible, read it out aloud, because you begin to hear the word of God. And when you speak the word of God out, you're speaking to principalities and powers all around us. All around us are principalities and powers, forces that want to stop us moving. Forces that want to keep us busy doing something else. Forces at times that just want to keep us busy on our iPhones. Forces that want to keep us busy just on Facebook and something else. And forces that keep coming in and saying, "No, you don't have time to go to church. You don't have time for that. There are more important things to do." And I'll tell you this. I wouldn't be here if I didn't put God first for the last 40 odd years. And if that was the case, if I didn't take it as being important, Helen wouldn't be here. And if that's the case, then some of you might not be here. importance of taking the word of God and beginning to use it and beginning to live this word and be this word, because that's what it's about. Jesus being in you and me and being seen by people around us. And so we are to live this word, be this word, and let this word work in our lives. And so we walk by faith, not by sight. Grace and I, when I quit my job, we didn't know where we were going. We didn't know what we were doing. God said, do it. Yeah, Lord, but where's the path? Where's the next place? Where are we going? God said, I just asked you to do what I asked you to do, now do it. That's trust, that's faith in God. And so Grace and I, we began the walk of faith. And we didn't walk by sight, because sight said to us, you've got to sell up and move. Faith, the natural mind said, you've got to sell up because otherwise you're going to be poor. You're never going to have anything. You're going to struggle for the rest of your life. And God said, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Put me first. Put me first. I wouldn't say that we've managed to do it all the time, but I think I can stand here and say we've done it most of the time. If not, somebody will tell me otherwise that knows me well. But we've sought so often to put Jesus first. Before ourselves even, we've put Jesus first. And we've put the church sometimes before ourselves. Because we believe in the calling, we believe in the power of God, we believe that God wants to raise up a body of people that is powerful and strong in prayer and in the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I want to spend some time and move us and help move us together into a deeper and greater anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that we are hearing God, we are hearing the words of wisdom and revelation and knowledge, and the power of God is flowing through this church, these bodies of believers, and that this church is recognized that it follows the Lord Jesus Christ, that it puts Jesus first, and that this church is not afraid of people outside. This church is not afraid of standing for the cross and declaring that Jesus is the only one Lord and Saviour, and that God, the only one way to God, the Creator of all things, and that is through Jesus Christ, and that we will stand for it, and that we will not allow our faith to become watered down and to become weak, because the world around us doesn't want to hear the truth that your sins will take you to hell. Well, the truth is that, and if we don't tell the truth, then we shall, before God, we shall be accused. We have to speak the word of truth, and we have to speak the word of life. That's right. How shall they hear without a preacher? So God wants each and every one of us to tell people. And to show them the love of Jesus. How shall they see the love of God? You know, people say, oh, you know, God's an horrible God because he doesn't help where there's all these problems. No, we've told God, clear off, we don't need you, we can manage now, we're okay. Lord, I've got enough money, I can manage, I don't need your help. Lord, as a nation, God, we don't need you here anymore, we're fine, we've got everything sorted out, we're living how we want to live, we're doing what we want to do. And we're saying it's alright to be gay, to be a lesbian, to be a homosexual. That's fine, just do it. That's what the nation says. They've passed laws and said it's okay. Well, I'm sorry, God hasn't changed his law.
No.
He's the same yesterday, today and forever. And so the church needs to stand up and says, we walk by faith. We walk by this word of God. And when we do that, if we turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, I can do all things.
Amen.
Through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to stand in my way, because God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
And so we're going to stand for the truth. We're going to stand for the power of the gospel. We're going to stand for the word of God. And we're going to see the word of God changing people's lives. Already this last few weeks, we've seen the word of God beginning to change people's lives.
Amen.
But you know, we need to push on. We need together as a group of believers to push through. As it says here in Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things. So many of us have been told, you can't do this. You'll not be able to do that. You're not clever enough to do this. It's not about how clever you are, it's how close you are to Jesus. It's not about how educated you are, it's about how close and how much do you know God. That's what it's about. It's about relationship, not knowledge. It's about a personal relationship with God and not about your education and who you know, the best person that you could ever know that will get you to places where you've never been before and where people say you can't get is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello.
People say, well, you've got to have education to get you to this place and to that place. Well, let me tell you this. If God wants you there, God will get you there.
Amen.
If you put Jesus first, he will do it. He will change everything. He will move things out of the way.
Yeah.
And put you into a place where God wants you to be. So I just want to encourage you today. You and I, every one of us, needs to begin to walk by faith much stronger. We need to begin to say, I'm going to keep walking this, I'm going to keep doing this, I'm going to see this happen, I'm going to see people's, my family changed, I'm going to see circumstances change, I'm going to see my job improve, I'm going to see things that are in the way of me being at church, doing the things of God. I am going to see that everything begins to change because I am going to use this word of God. I'm going to be in the prayer meeting. I'm going to begin to pray through and we will begin to form a mighty army.
Amen.
When Nehemiah built the wall, it says each and every one had a task to do. And they had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other and they linked together and said, we will build this wall.
Amen.
And nothing will stop us. And we will build this wall to the glory of God.
Amen.
The wall had to be built so that Jesus could come back to the Jerusalem. Because he protected the city of Jerusalem. So the wall had to be built. And Nehemiah was doing an important job. Don't think when God gives you something to do, it's not as important as somebody else. Every job, every cog needs to be in place so that everything moves. God wants to use you. And I want you to go away tonight thinking, what is God going to do for me? And about think about your relationship with him. How can I improve it? What can I do to get closer to him? And how can I reach people out there? Because when people start coming to Jesus, our land will change.
Amen.
And will be redeemed through salvation. Amen. And our land will improve.
Yeah.
Our nation will become richer.
Yeah.
And our nation will know the power of God flowing in its life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Walk by faith. Trust God. Move forward. Amen. Well, I hope I've challenged you and encouraged you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Let's pull together. You know, it's get one on the end of the rope. He's not going to pull much. Get two or three and four and five and begin to pull together. It's the same rope. But there's an increase of power. We begin to pull in. All in the same direction together. Begin to see God bringing in the blessing. And pouring out a blessing on you and me and the whole area. For the glory of God. I want to get into schools in the future. I want to build a big youth hall on that piece of grass outside there. I want to build out the back here new toilets and some classrooms and that. Don't get excited. I'll just chill.
Oh man. Why can't we get excited?
Well, nobody
else.
I'm being sarcastic. you've got to get excited. Yes, begin to see it by the eye of faith.